You are listening to Grandpa Lempsheets on RadioArian.com.
And still going strong. That's right. Installment number 31 of the Church of the Lampshade Show, right here on Radio Arian. Grandpa Lampshade with you. As always, great to have you with us this week. For, as I said, installment number 31 of the Church of the Lampshade Show. And I think we'll have a great discussion this week. We'll try not to run long like we did last week. We ran extremely long last week, but we had a whole lot to cover and a lot of great stuff. Once again, thanks to listeners providing that great subject matter. As always, we plan to have great subject matter every week. Some weeks are probably better than others. Maybe some weeks suck. I don't know, but I think every week's good. Hopefully you feel the same way. As always, we'd like to start off thanking our those who are financially supporting our work here. We have about 4 supporters this week. We'll start off saying thank you to Completely Anon Cryptocurrency supporter. Appreciate that. And as I always say, we can do Bitcoin. We can probably do just about any crypto. So if you have Stellar Lumens or something, we'll even take that. We have no pride. And if you'd like a shout out, I encourage you to do so. Nobody thinks you're just trying to get attention for yourself. Drop me an email. Say, hey, you know, I blessed you with some Ox crypto and don't be ashamed. I go username, I don't know, SuperJew666 or something. Yeah, we'll be glad to get you mentioned. We like to do that. One of our constant, just rock solid supporters, week in, week out, Mr. T, Grandpa Lampshade. Best wishes as always. Keep up the great work you're doing. And yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. And again, those of you who support us week in and week out, help make that possible. Help keep me motivated. I'll tell you that. Little Jew All. Thank you, Little Jew All. Some of the names, it's great just for the lulz. Triangle Whip coming through with shekels this week. As always, very much appreciated, you guys. Keep me going. I tell you, thank you to all our financial supporters. Thank you for all of you listen to the show and offer your prayers. I always say that, prayers for someone else are much more effective than prayers for yourself, because by default, you're not focused on yourself. You're focused on other people. It's not saying there's anything wrong with praying for yourself as well. It's just you kind of start off with a handicap because you can't help but be being self-centered because you are focusing on yourself. Thus, prayers for other people, you're automatically a step ahead because you're focusing on someone else. And it takes a little bit of faith because you're like, well, if I pray for someone else, he's going to pray for me. We just got to have faith that somebody out there is praying for you. So again, thank you to all supporters. In whatever way, shape, or form. If you want to be a part of financially supporting the show, that information will be found at the bottom of the description. For the show, we've got the ever-popular snail mail. That's right. We've gone completely retro. We've got snail mail, and of course, we've got, like I say, we got a Bitcoin address down there. If you have some other crypto, you just drop me an email. That email address is there. And drop your listener questions, comments there, grandpalampshade1@gmail.com. I know I need to get rid of Gmail altogether, but I've had that address for so long and people are kind of used to it. So I've just left it. It's a big hassle to get changed, to go something else. But I probably need to get around to doing that. I've slowly kind of pretty much have weaned Google out of my life completely. It's like having a tumor removed. But I was thinking, the future is what we're doing right now, believe it or not. I mean, yeah, we're kind of forced into the future by, content providers being supported by those that enjoy the content. I do. I think the advertising model is doomed. The advertising model, especially, it'll die first on the internet. And we're already seeing that. I mean, there's a reason, you have the rise of I don't know, Hulu's and Netflix. And so that's the way the future, the advertising model is dying. Again, especially look at the internet, because it's become so saturated. I mean, you can pull up the Daily Mail or something, and your ad blocker is showing like it's blocked like 30 something ads. Some of these sites have so many ads on them that you can't even read the content because you're just being barraged by this nonstop flood of ads, and everybody installs an ad blocker at this point. So what's the point of the ads? I mean, how are these people paying, these companies paying for this advertisement that everybody's blocking? And even if you aren't blocking, I mean, you're not sitting there. I always say it's so ridiculous. I mean, has anybody ever like had a pop-up, you know, and like went and bought a product? It's like, wow, where'd you get this great product? Well, I was trying to watch the latest installment of, I don't know, Blade of Demon Destruction anime, and this pop-up came up, and I was like, wow, I gotta have this product. So I clicked on the link and gave them all my credit card, and nobody does that. So what do they gain? It's just a big farce. And in the end, I think the advertising model is doomed, and I think the future at some point is people will pay for the content they want. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Of course, the problem is, I guess you won't get the content if you don't pay. But we're not ever going to do that here, by the way, with this show. We're not ever going to put up a paywall. Well, you can only listen to the show if you pay us. Give us the shekels. We're not ever going to, rest assured, we're not ever going to do that. Well, I guess I should be more specific and say I'm never going to do that. So, yeah, I do. I think that's the way of the future. I think we'll see that play out on the internet first. But, I mean, you look at even like TV, it still amazes me that anybody watches American TV programming, but there it is. And I mean, you even have ad blocker for that, and that's called the mute button. I mean, even for like old boomers or something that sit there and actually watch the latest rendition of a show about a heroic FBI squad that goes around and stuff. You know, yeah, led by a strong black female and her right-hand man, Mr. Voice of Reason, black guy, and the nerdy white computer geek guy played by a Jew, and the strong, empowered white feminist woman agent who, you know, always gets out of hand and tends to just go right on the edge of roughing up these guy suspects, you know, as they chase down the terrorists who usually turn out to be, I don't know, white Swedes or white Swedish guys, and we're never told exactly what their terrorist reasons are, but it's something about hating diversity. And you know, and what's real funny about those shows is when they put on a you know, like they'll mirror an actual like Brown Desert Islam terror attack, only they just they swap the villains, and instead of Muslims, it's white Swedes that are doing the terrorism. But even if you're one of these people that for some unknown reason actually watches this shit, I mean, what do you do when the ads come on? You mute it and you get up and go make coffee, or you go to the bathroom or whatever. Nobody really sits there and just stares watching the commercials. The commercials aren't even interesting. I mean, at least way back in the day, you know, I mean, they had commercials that were kind of funny or entertaining. As of now, I mean, they're all like, it's just like the TV programming. It's all the same. It's all the same commercial. It's just a different product. I was sitting there thinking about this, and I'm thinking, you know, I mean, how many people, I mean, who goes out and buys an $80,000 Lincoln Navigator because they saw an ad on TV with Serena Williams sitting in it in the rain listening to the radio? They're sitting there going, man, I was just thinking about going out and buying a GMC Yukon, but now I saw this ad and Serena Williams is sitting in a Lincoln Navigator in the rain listening to the radio. I have a Lincoln Navigator. I mean, it's like an oasis. Look at her. She's in an oasis in her Lincoln Navigator. I mean, really, nobody does that. So I'm sitting here wondering, you know, I mean, at some point you would think these corporations like do research, and they're like, yeah, these ads, we spend billions of dollars a year on this advertising, and it doesn't do shit. I mean, we're just throwing away our money. And I'm sitting there thinking, but maybe they have. Maybe what they're promoting is actually the ads themselves. You know, when you see all these ads that inevitably feature white female, black male couple, you know, maybe what they're actually advertising isn't they're chinky, shitty products, but maybe what they're actually advertising is white female, black male couple. Something to think about. I mean, really, who jumps up and makes a buying decision because of some crappy ass ad they saw on TV? I don't think anybody does. So you have to wonder what exactly they are advertising. They're damn sure advertising the diversity, fake TV Negro couple that, you know, only exists on TV. They don't talk like black people. They don't, you know, they're not reflective of actual black culture, which one would think that would be classified as racist. I mean, why do they always put black people on these ads, you know, black couples on these ads, and they walk around talking and acting like white people? I mean, why shouldn't they just, you know, show the real thing? Instead, they make the fake version. Again, makes you wonder what they're actually advertising. I don't know. I could see, like, maybe in radio, maybe they'll continue, you know, advertising model could have some sort of future on what's left of, you know, actual broadcast radio. But again, I just see the future at some point becoming people paying for the content they want. Of course, again, there's the problem. I mean, who's going to pay to watch some reality show about, I don't know, a bunch of skanks fighting each other over some douchebag or something, or, you know, some people that nobody heard of them last week. And this week we're assured they're celebrities. So we have a reality show following these people around while they do these obviously scripted drama antics. And we're supposed to be on the edge of our seat to see what they do next week. If people actually had to pay for this shit content, I mean, they would have like zero watchers. I mean, nobody's going to pay for that. So again, to continue to push the narrative, they have to support it with this model. But again, long term, I would see this playing out as at some point people will pay for the content that they want. And again, ultimately, we're kind of, and if you think of it that way, it's a kind of a, I don't know, silver lining in a way. We just think of it as, look at it on a positive note. We're on the cutting edge of the future. Financially supporting content. I was thinking, the stuff I think about, I was thinking about this topic of advertisement and how local advertising, you know, like on your TV and stuff, is probably still kind of maybe sort of effective, and that might would continue on. I was thinking about these local advertisements, and yes, this is fixing a typical Grandpa Lampshade fashion. We're going to go completely off the rails here and exit off. But I was thinking about these local advertisements and what they, you know, you see them like when you watch the local news, because you just want to see the weather, but you have to go through all this. And you watch the local ads and you have those ads, you know, like $99 gets you in a new car. That's right. Come on down here to fill in the blank car dealership. We've got brand new Turdmobiles, $99, get you. And then they show these people, I got me a new car for $99 down. And they're like, yeah. And you know that, like, those people aren't like actual customers. You know, like, if you go down to the car dealership, you're going to be like, see, be like, you were on the ad, because they work there. It's like the secretary is one of the ones, is the black lady on there going, I got me a new car for $99 down. And you go in and she's like the secretary there. You're like, did you really get a new car? No, that's my old Hyundai out there in the back. You know, and if, but you know, I mean, I'm sure those must be effective in a sense. If somebody goes down there and somebody goes down there, they see the ad, $99 down gets you in a new car. And so you're going to have this, and this is just to get people, because these car dealerships, they work on this idea that you get just like as many people as you can. And out of those, you will get a certain amount of these sold into a car. So you're going to inevitably have that guy go down there. And he's down there and he shows up at the car lot and he's looking brand new $50,000 Turdmobile. He's like, man, he's thinking to himself, man, a sweet car. This is a sweet car. And of course, inevitably, here comes the sales shark. Here comes salesman out there. He's coming out there and he's like, hey, how's it going, bud? You got a good eye, I see. You see this navy blue fine Turdmobile. It's a pretty nice car, isn't it? Yeah, man. I was just checking it out. It's okay. You know, because the guy shows up. He's and by the way, the only person who's really, the person who's truly going to lose in this interaction is the salesman. Because the guy's standing here, like, yeah, he's trying to play cool. Yeah, it's all right. I mean, I've seen a few of these running around. I was thinking about buying a I was thinking about buying a fartmobile down the road, but, you know, I've seen a few people driving them and talked to a few guys. They seem to be happy with these turdmobiles. And the salesman's like, yeah, you know, it's a, so, you know, what kind of work you do? Work? The guy decides it's the customer. He decides, I'm going to go ahead and pull the trump card early. Reaches in his pocket, pulls out a bright, crisp $100 bill. I brought me one of these down here. So, you know, I saw your advertisement about $99, and I'll be driving away in a new car, and I just so happened to have this bright, crisp $100 bill with me. And in his mind, the salesman is just like, just orgasmed. And, you know, since it says $99, I'm not going to ask for the dollar change as he folds it up, puts it back in his pocket, you know. But I'm thinking, with that extra dollar and having this $100, I'm thinking I ought to be able to pick up this $50,000 turdmobile for about $189 a month. And the salesman right now is just like, oh, shit. I should have let somebody else take this one. Because right now the salesman, now he knows where this is going, and he wants to tell the guy that ain't happening. Get the hell out of here. But then his boss will yell at him. So he can't do that. So now he's stuck. He is stuck in the loop. He is sucked into the vacuum. He's like, okay, well, maybe I can salvage this. Well, you know, if you're looking for a payment like that, you know, these turdmobiles may not really be for you. We've got the Econo turdmobile over here, though, and actually, we've got a pretty decent used lot over here. You might want to think, no, dude. I came here specifically for a turdmobile, the $50,000 turdmobile. That's why I brought $100. If I was going down here to look at the Econo turd, I would only brought $50, and we'd be talking about that. Salesman, he's trying to salvage this now. He just desperate something, you know, and he's like, okay, well, you know, what kind of credit, you know what your credit score is, what kind of credit you got, I don't even be talking to me about credit. That's why I brought this $100 bill down here, because my credit's so bad, I got negative credit. My credit's so bad that I went down there to Juan's Texas Tejano car lot. We tote the note, and Juan done threw beans at me and run my ass off. But then I saw your ad for $99 gets me a car. Don't worry about credit. It said it right there on the ad, because I saw that ad. I watched it. Of course, at the end of the ad, it said in really fast voice, you know, this offer will not apply to everybody. Please see the lawyer for other details. It's not going to happen to you if your credit's away. And also, here's the fine lawyer print that's like five paragraphs long. It's so tiny, you're never going to ever actually be able to read it. But this is supposed to get us out of any sort of legal obligation. Salesman's and shit. Now he's wasting his time. Now he's looking over there, and somebody like that, he can smell them. They got credit and money. They just showed up, and the other salesman's got them, and he's stuck in the abyss of Mr. $99, and I'm going to get a $50,000 turdmobile for $189 a month. So, he has to go through the routine, and he goes to his boss, hey, I've got this guy here. Get his credit info. Here's it. I'll run his credit. Take him for a test drive. Stall him while I run his credit. Oh, and the salesman is just, he's bone now, you know. So he takes the guy, and the guy's like, this is pretty nice. Yeah, now the guy's test drove the $50,000 turdmobile long enough that now he just loves this guy. I'll take it. I'll take it. I love this car. Y'all make this deal. Make it happen. I hate to let loose this $100 bill, but, yeah, let's make it. And sure enough, the salesman, and then salesman goes in, and, you know, he has to bring the guy in the office, and the salesman goes into his boss, and his boss is like, why the hell are you messing with this guy? Well, because you'll yell at me if I just run him off. Get rid of him. His credit is so bad, it gave my computer AIDS. Negative credit score, AIDS. So get the hell. So now the guy has to go back and say, yeah, well, with your credit and everything, it's not gonna happen. What do you mean it's not going to happen? Well, I mean, if you could give like 99.99% of the asking price down, we might could get you in there for like $800 a month. Y'all said $99. No, you know. So now the salesman, he got yelled at because he was inevitably going to get yelled at by his boss. And now the customer is mad at him because, like, it's like the salesman is the one who put the misleading advertisement on TV about $99 down. And so he's the one caught in the middle. And in the end, the guy doesn't get his $99 car. I say, what the hell that has to do with anything? I don't know. I just was thinking about that, how that plays out. How many times a day that probably actually plays out in the car business. I thought it was funny. So I thought we'd just talk about it here. Of course, other big news. I'm recording this on Saturday. Usually Saturday is my recording day. Sometimes it's Sunday, but I'm recording this on Saturday. So just a few short days ago, it was the anniversary of 9/11. Also known here in America as Patriots Day, because nothing says Patriots Day and America like 9/11. And I'd asked the question the other day on Gab that, you know, there's like a multitude of theories of what happened on 9/11. And the least believable one is the official narrative, what we're told actually happened. And I have posed the question on the only social media account where I've managed to not be banned, Gab. And I asked the question, is there anybody out there that actually really believes the official narrative? Because it's so, I mean, it's stupendously retarded that it's so stupendously retarded. And somebody responded and said, you know, basically, don't underestimate the stupidity, you know, and they were right. Yeah. Because I was listening to like broadcast radio the other day on 9/11 and the, I don't know if they're called disc jockeys anymore. They probably have some new name for them because they don't actually play records anymore. So how can you be a disc jockey? You're a flash drive. I don't know. Anyway, and the whatever they're known now, the radio host is saying, today is 9/11 and we know who did it. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, probably the Jews, along with the CIA and the military industrial complex, a whole bunch of, you know, American intel agencies, the Mossad, you know, the Muslim, basically, yes, he was sitting there like he buys the narrative. Of course, the guy from Way Talks, he's a boomer, of course. So, of course, he believes the actual ridiculous, most ludicrous 9/11 conspiracy theory of them all, the official narrative. Hamburger Americans do not underestimate their ability to believe everything they're told. I believe the actual 9/11 narrative. This is amazing to me. Because it is. It's so stupendously stupid. I mean, you can sit here and argue about, you know, what kind of explosive took down the buildings and whatnot. It just, the whole point is that the actual official narrative. What we have, the 9/11 commission. They did the 9/11. That was supposed to be the fig leaf of legitimacy on the 9/11 thing. Only they like wouldn't allow anybody to talk about anything like the fact that these were all Saudis. You know, what about Saudi Arabia's role? And now you can't talk about that. They weren't actually allowed. They were basically told, this is what y'all are going to say. And after they came to their official report, which said, yep, the government totally did lie. And everything they told you is totally true. There were people that were on the commission that came out after that and were like, yeah, no, it's bullshit. They just told us, this is what we got to say. We need a real investigation. But sorry, you don't get a real investigation. It's the whole conspiracy theory. The dancing Israelis that said they were there to document the event and then whisked off back to Israel and that got memory hold. Don't be coming around here with your crazy ass conspiracy theories. Here's the official narrative. Buy it, hook, line, and sinker. 9/11 is so important, though. And I kind of was hesitant to even talk about it. Because everybody talks about it during this week, you know, but it is important because it reflects a turning point in so many ways. And I think one of the turning points that it represents that a lot of people miss is that it's the turning point of when the government really didn't give a shit if you believed the narrative or not. They were just going to give it to you and they didn't care if nobody believed it. Because, I mean, nobody believes it, but they don't care. It's just like, well, here it is. I mean, the JFK assassination was ludicrous enough this lone assassin with a army surplus rifle or a surplus rifle with open iron sights managed this incredible trick shot and shot him in the back of the head, even though don't believe your eyes when you watch the video of his head flying backwards and the back of his head exploding outward. I mean, I remember seeing those videos as a kid, and you know, I was raised in the country and I'd done enough hunting already by the time I was 10 years old. Look at that and go like, that ain't the way it works. That guy got shot from the front. Never mind that. Yeah, you know, so that was, I mean, that was, but oh, it's all incremental. Hey, could you believe this was because most people don't hunt. Most people are living in the city. Well, I guess he was shot from the back and he just kind of jerked that way. And the whiplash from jerking made the back of his head explode or something. But then that was probably when they really realized it didn't matter if how believable or unbelievable it was. They could just say conspiracy theory to anybody that questioned it and move right along. But still, after that, even they try to make stuff look some sort, some way believable. Yeah, where there's at least an element of legitimacy to it. And then we get to 9/11 and it's just like, well, we've been talking for years now about how we need a new Pearl Harbor to get America psyched up for fulfilling its role in the Middle East. Oh, what would we do if only we had a new Pearl Harbor? Voila! 9/11. But this isn't, you can imagine somebody sitting around going, this isn't very believable. Who gives a shit? We'll just tell them. That's the story. And we'll whip them. Whip it up and we'll call anybody who doesn't go along with a conspiracy theorist or a peacenik faggot. And if they we'll just shame them into silence and we'll go attack Iraq and Afghanistan. We'll blame it on bin Laden, who's laying there dying of, hooked to a dialysis machine somewhere. It's so ludicrous. After 9/11, the Taliban were like, yeah, okay, we'll hand over bin Laden to you if you just show us the proof that he actually did this. And then the bombs started falling. That was their, that was proof. Yeah, and they whip everybody up, and the great wartime hero president, George W. Bush. It is. It's so ludicrous. It's so ludicrous. If it wasn't so serious, like so many people have died because of it, and we've been just wrecked as a nation because of, we've lost so many of the freedoms and things we took for granted before that. I mean, if it wasn't for those serious things, it would just be downright laughable. But there it is. The Patriot Act. The Patriot. And then when the French dared to question, they were like, well, we don't know if this is really something, we shouldn't be hasty and jump up there. A bunch of the surrender faggots. Look at those surrender monkey French. Remember Freedom Fries? One of the gayest things that came out, of 9/11 was Freedom Fries. When the French were kind of like, yeah, we don't know, we really want to jump up and attack the entire Middle East. Without at least maybe like knowing some particulars about this, they were, we're so outraged. We're not calling them. We're going to show these French what it means to be American. We ain't called when we order our hamburgers at McDonald's. When we go down here and order our DDDD burgers, we're not ordering French fries anymore. We're ordering freedom fries. That's right. because nothing says making a statement to an entire nation as renaming your deep fried potatoes. They're no longer going to be free. Stick it to the French. You don't want to back up. You don't want to stand with America. We're renaming our deep fried potato strings. They're no longer French fries. They're freedom. Freedom fries. Because one thing we are all about here in America, that's the freedom. That's why we support the Patriot Act, where you're going to get strip searched to go get on an airplane, and we're going to give billions of dollars to Chertoff's company to buy these body scanners. These body scanners, because we're all about freedom. We're going to give up our freedom to not be searched without probable cause because we're about freedom. It makes complete sense. But I mean, George W. Bush was the one that said we had to save the free market by throwing away the free market and bailing out Wall Street. So it just makes sense that we save our freedoms by giving our freedoms up. It was truly the birth of clown world when you think about it. Yes, we were told these Saudis hijacked the planes with box cutters and did this course great 9/11 event. Virtually all of these alleged hijackers were Saudis. So Bush came and did his big speech, you know, and that's when he made the famous axis of evil. There's an axis of evil. And everybody's sitting on the edge of their seat. Here it comes. North Korea. What? North Korea? The Norks were like, had to have been sitting there like, what? What we do? We don't bomb your towers. Iran. Iran's like, what? We're Shia Muslims. Y'all are claiming a bunch of Wahhab Sunni bastards did it. Why are you throwing us under the bus? And Iraq. These Saudis cleverly masterminded hijacking these airplanes with box cutters and attacking our freedoms by making sure Lucky Larry Silverstein got billions of dollars. And the axis of evil was not Saudi Arabia. You would have thought they would at least toss Saudi Arabia under the bus. But we get Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. There wasn't a single North Korean on any of those planes. But it didn't matter. Because America and our freedoms. Liberty. We're all about the liberty. We're all about the liberty here. We can make fun of it because the narrative's completely retarded. But again, what isn't funny and what is serious is that we have lost the semblance of any sort of sanity. We've lost so many, you know, actual freedoms that we thought we had, and they were given away just like that. And the people never questioned it. Well, I mean, some did. I mean, you know, some of us back then were like, yeah, we don't really think we should be surrendering our constitutional right to, you know, not be searched without probable cause. I mean, wouldn't that be like giving up our freedoms? Wouldn't that be like letting the terrorists win? No. Here's how you keep the terrorists from winning. Tell us, President Bush, you keep the terrorists from winning by getting your Visa card and going down there and running up a bunch of usurious debt that you're probably not going to be able to pay off. That's how you fight the terrorists. Go shopping. Buy shit you can't afford. Drive the stock market up higher. And the people bought it. The people bought it. The people who were saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't give up things like the right to not be searched without probable cause. Maybe that's not worth. They were dismissed as a bunch of hippie faggots or something that didn't want to stand for America. They're probably spitting on Vietnam vets or something. And the people went along with it. I don't know. Maybe look at it as a turning point. Maybe that's like the turning point when I just started really losing faith in mankind. If people can be that incredibly stupid. Of course, we look at it in hindsight. More people now are kind of like, yeah, maybe that wasn't so great. But they were able to whip up the hysteria. The problem is, of course, the problem they run into is as the years go by, people are now like whipped to death. You know what I mean? They like an electroshock. You know, it's like it was so shocking and the population were zapped and they're panicked and they're running around. They don't know what to do. So they just, yeah, they'll go along with pretty much anything. But I mean, they've had to keep this going for years and years and years now. And at some point, the shock, you know, no longer has an effect. People just like zap. And they're like, yeah, whatever, you know, whatever. I'll bomb somebody, I guess. What the hell? You know, it's like the populace is just like just laying there comatose. So when they're shocking them, they just don't even twitch anymore. It's like, this is something you should be outraged about because your freedoms. I have freedom, freedom, hamburger, DD. I don't know. So it's kind of it's worn down to the point that it's completely lost effectiveness. But yeah, we got to hear about 9/11 all week. That's of course a big thing. Another quick, and we got to get into our sermon this week. Another ludicrous statement from President Trump this past week. I found it amazing. There was a news story broke out. The Israelis had set up, apparently, according to this news story, and I find it believable, the Israelis had set up like spy devices to try to listen in to the government, to the White House. And Trump came out when he was asked about it, was like, well, I don't believe the Israelis would spy on us, which I found just breathtakingly amazing. The Israelis would not spy on us, because of course they don't have a history of ever doing that. Of course, it does seem silly on his face. I mean, I can't imagine anything they would think they're going to hear that they couldn't just call Trump up and ask him, because I picture like Netanyahu could call Trump up and be like, yeah, Trump, I was wondering, could you go ahead and give me those nuclear codes? And Trump being like, oh, of course, you know, my greatest ally, it's bigly codes here, just that way you have the nuke codes, because we have to have this trust with Israel. And you know, so, but then again, when you factor in the extreme psychosis, neurosis and paranoia that seems to be a trait of those folks. Yeah, I guess so. But I just thought it was amazing. Trump says, I don't believe the Israel would spy on us. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. But yet it is. I can't help but to laugh. Let's get on in here. Fill those pews, folks. Let's get into this week's sermon, Church of the Lampshade. That's right. That's what we all tune in for. The Christian message for the remnant of Christianity is we uncuck the church. We fight against the modern cuck church, the false teaching, the heresies, if you would, of the modern cuck church. So get on in here, get comfy. We'll get all set for this week's message. So, yeah, our topic this week will come via listener question comment. This comes via email, of course. Grandpa Lampshade, really enjoy your show. Have a question about the Bible. When it says that the gospel will be preached to all the world and then the end, do you think that does mean that the reality of the identity of true Israel that will be made known to the whole earth and then the end comes? This is from Milton. Great topic. Of course, this is, he's asking some specific, there's a little more here. He's asking, you know, about specifics to CIA. Look, folks, I'm not a CIA expert. If you've got questions specifically about certain tenets of the CIA doctrine, you really need to get with somebody that's up on that. I'm not going to sit here and be insulting by trying to talk about something that I'm not well versed in. But I thought this was still, you know, even though I can't necessarily speak specifically to CIA stuff, you know, do how CIA doctrine views some of these things, the end time in the Bible and the gospel being preached to the world. I thought this would be a great topic to discuss nonetheless, because there you go. One of the things that has to happen, the gospel has to be preached to the whole world. Well, what does that mean? What does that entail exactly? Let's talk end days. Everybody loves it. End days. End days is always something on the minds of people, have been for centuries. So as we get into this, those of you that like to write down ahead of time what scripture we're going to be referencing, for sure we're going to be doing Mark 13, 1 through 13. We're also going to do 2 Peter 3, 1 through 8. There's a couple other scriptures we may or may not use. I haven't decided yet. I got those jotted down as maybe. The end days, and the gospel being preached worldwide. And then the end comes. Think about the end days. And I've said this before, everybody thinks they live in the end days. I mean, people during World War I believed they lived in the end days. We look around at our deteriorating clown world today, and we believe we live in the end days. The early apostles, the early church, I mean, there were the apostles at some point in time, I mean, they believed Jesus was returning back before they die. I mean, they thought, you know, some of them believed that, you know, before their lives, I mean, they thought when Jesus ascended to heaven and said, you know, basically, you know, I'll be back, you know, they were thinking like in a year or two, you know, he was going to give them a year or two to do what they, you know, to do their thing, do what they needed to do, and then he would be back and kind of wrap the whole thing up. Here's the thing. Out of all of these people that believe they lived in the end days, from the early apostles to us today, they're all correct. They're all correct. We've all lived in, we're all living through the end days. You have to look at these things as a long cycle. Because I think most people, when you say the end days, I mean, like the early apostles, it's just a human nature thing. You know, people tend to elevate the early apostles to like being, you know, above just being people. I mean, yeah, they heard things and saw things and things were revealed to them that we could be jealous of. But in the end, they were just dudes. I mean, they were people. Just like you or me. And to them, they were like the end days, you know, Jesus is returning, and they're thinking in a year or two. And likewise, when you talk about the end days, people are like, well, what's the end day? 2 weeks? What are we talking about here? A couple of weeks for the end days, and then it's over, maybe a year or two. What are we talking about? The end days is basically, I would propose that the end days are everything from the time Christ ascended to heaven after being resurrected to where we are today. Now, we'll stop here because I can hear some of you right now are like, Lampshade, you're just pulling that out of your ass. No, I'm not. Let's look at... preaching you won't get in your modern cut church. Guarantee you. Second Peter. Let's do Second Peter chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. And again, you have to remember, the apostles worked through this. There was a time when they believed that Jesus was coming back pretty quick. But as time went on and as more things were revealed to them, they started to come to understand how this was playing out. And here Peter is spelling it out. So let's look at chapter 3 of 2 Peter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets, of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing that first there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where's this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Stop there for a minute. Boy, doesn't that ring familiar? Where is it? Yeah. Where y'all been talking about Jesus coming back for how long now? Where is it? Don't see it. Everything. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. Scoffers. Mocking. Nothing's changed. Ha! Because it hasn't happened yet. It can't ever happen. Let's continue on. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So he's saying, just like in the times of Noah with the flood. People at that time were like, why are you building an ark in your yard? Things are just going to keep on going. People think that now is forever. It's just like how most people's view of history is their lifetime. They think the future is right now. That things are just going to be, and it's so ludicrous. We see this in people in the pro-white movement. They act like current clown world is just going to continue spiraling forever. Like in 100 years, America as it stands now will still exist, only it will be even more clownish. It'll just be outlawed to be white. I mean, you won't be able to walk down the road. No, I mean, you're not going to be able to even mention the word gender, because that would imply that there's some sort of difference between human beings, and we can't have that. It has to continue. You know, I mean, it's not. It's those of us that look at a bigger picture, we sit here and say, this isn't sustainable. It's not wishful thinking. It's not wishful thinking going, oh, well, yeah, don't worry, it's all going to fix itself. We're not saying it's going to fix itself, but we're looking at the current order, the current direction of things. And just by natural law, it's not sustainable. It's going to eat itself. It's going to collapse upon itself. And yet people sit there and say, have this mindset that it's just going to continue on. Both those who are opposed to it and those who embrace it, those who love it, those who just embrace ever-growing degeneracy and ever-growing nonsense, they want to believe that their delusions are just going to continue to somehow expand and become the norm of society if they just keep pushing harder and harder. It's human nature. And he's pointing out here, even then, before God flooded, had it flushed the earth the first time, before he just burns it with fire, he flushes the earth the first time. People were still going, like, day before the rain started, we're like, ah, nothing's going to change. Heck, 10 years from now, it'll be even better or worse, however you want to look at it. Let's continue on. Where are we at here? I guess we'll pick up at verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The day of judgment's coming. Now, here's kind of the point I wanted to get to with this. But I could have just done this one verse here with verse 8, but I thought the lead up was really important as well. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. There's your big money takeaway right here. Peter has come to grasp that, you know, the last days are not like 2 weeks. The last days are carried out as a huge, enormous series of events, because it is going to be a huge, enormous event. I mean, God's going to flush the world. He's going to purge the world essentially with fire. He's going to end the game. It's game over. He's going to roll the scroll up, say, okay, this has gone on long enough. Game over. It is a huge deal. So it just makes sense that this is going to play out over a number of years. Now, even to this, he's just making an illustration. He's not saying he's got like a secret calendar that shows this many years equals one day for God. Because again, God exists in eternity, which there is no linear time. It's just time is only relevant to us, those of us who are on this earth. Time is completely irrelevant to the heavenly realm, to God, to the spiritual realm. It exists in eternity. There's an absence of time, and time, linear time, is only relevant for us. It's just because we're on this one-way street to the end of this trial, to the end of this world. Okay, let's go ahead and go to Mark 13, 1 through 13. Let's get flipped over here. Because here's Jesus really clearly spelling out some end time stuff. And it's really important, because everybody, when you start talking about end times, everybody wants to go to the book of Revelation, and they have no grasp of the book of Revelation. I don't even have that great of a grasp of the book of Revelation. I probably have more than a lot of people, definitely more than the evangelical modern cuck church that somehow they think that the modern nation state of Israel, the Jews are all going to suddenly, I don't know, become Christian or some shit, and then Jesus can return. That's why we have to support Israel no matter what. I was going to make fun of this, and I thought, well, I will stand on my head and find the scriptures they use to justify this, and I can't even find any. I don't even know where they come up with this. Really, I can't. It's just so far out there that I don't. Because there is no scriptural basis for this. It's just something they've made up, something they've come up with on their own. That they believe somehow that because basically the UN gave a name to this area, and that somehow that means it's Israel of the Bible. It's so nonsensical. It's sort of like, you know, well, if I named my property, if I officially went down to the county and registered my property name as Israel, would that make this? Here we are. See that water running down the hill back there? That's actually where Moses split that, and the people walked through. Anyway, I get sidetracked when I get wound up. About these people. Where were we? Yes, Mark chapter 13. Specifically, because I was saying the book of Revelation, which I have to realize when it comes to the book of Revelation is, you know, the book of Revelation there was a lot of things in there. It was spoken. It was written in the way that it was for a number of reasons, not just about the visions. John, when he did Revelation, you know, he was banished. I mean, he had been, instead of being put in a prison, he was put on this island. He was cast out on this island, and he could write letters, but I mean, it's just like being in prison. If you're in prison, they read all your mail. I mean, they do. They go through you. You know that. If you're in prison, you know they're going to go through your mail. You write a letter, they're going to look in there. And some of the book of Revelation, John was actually shit-talking the people at the time, the government at the time that had thrown him on there. And so some of it is written in that way so that when they went through his mail, they would be like, well, I guess this guy found the magic mushroom stash. Yes. But those that read it understood kind of what he was saying. I'm not saying that's all that's in there, but you have to understand that that is some of the context is there. And people get so hung up on the book of Revelation and they want to sit here and well, now, I don't know, the woman on the beast has to equal this or that, which may or may not be correct, but people can read so much into it and they get so sidetracked and then they become obsessed with it that they miss a point. And it's not really necessary because Jesus said some really specific things about the end time that weren't in code, that you didn't have to sit there and go, well, this must mean, I don't know, the U.S. government, the UN, or the Catholic Church, or whatever. I mean, he said some very specific things about the end days and also the whole line about the gospel being preached worldwide is here. That's another reason I picked this. So let's look at Mark and start at 13. I think we'll run through 13. Let's see how it goes. And as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of these stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This is a big deal. This statement by Jesus is a huge deal. It's one of the things that whipped up the Pharisees to want to execute him, that he dared say this. But what he was saying, I mean, wasn't like, oh, well, this specifically happens to happen with these buildings. You know, this is a sign when these buildings are destroyed. No, the disciples were like, look at these marvelous structures that have been built by the hands of men. And Jesus is simply pointing out, look, I don't care how magnificent it is. At some point in time, it's going to go back to the earth. At some point in time, it's not going to be here anymore. I mean, you see these things where they go out and they do these archaeological digs and they dig this stuff up and they wind up finding these, you know, for their time, these magnificent cities, these whole cities. And no one never knew they were there. But at some point in time, they were obviously bustling with people. They find all these streets and where all these houses were. And they find all these, you know, signs that people, all these people once lived there. And now nobody even knows. So it was just a farmer's field. But somebody dug around and all of a sudden, hey, look what we found. All Jesus is pointing out is all the things that are built by men are temporary. It's an important thing. When you look around, everything you look at, erosion, if you want to be scientific, you look at erosion. Erosion is happening constantly to everything that men build on this earth, be it made out of steel, aluminum, concrete. I don't care what it is. Your house, the roads, everything around you that is built by man is constantly being weathered. It's being eroded. That's why you have to run around and do things to try to stave it off. You put paint on your car, not just to make it look pretty, but because the minute that metal is exposed, it's formed, it starts trying to rust. It starts oxidizing. It starts going back to its base elements. Men refine it and bang it and build it and make it look like something. And immediately nature starts returning it to its core elements. Same with your streets. We pave streets. You drive down your car and you drive down them in your car and it's smooth and it's nice. And then the next thing you know, you're down the same street and it's full of potholes. Why? Because all that asphalt, everything, it's returning back to its base elements. It's returning back to nation. All Jesus is saying here is, look, everything built by man, I don't care how magnificent you think it is, how impressive you believe it is, It's at some point it will return to its core. It's going to return to its base elements. With enough linear time going by, the most magnificent of structures will return to the earth. It returned what it is, just like people. Just like people, no matter how magnificent, no matter what your accomplishments, no matter what great stature you have in society, at some point in time, you're going to return to your core element. You're going to return to the base element. You're going to go back in the earth. You're going to be dirt again. You're going to become worm dirt. You're going to become fertilizer for the ground. You return to the earth from which ye came. It's inevitable. So are all things created by man. This is also a reflection of what God has done. If you think of it, so much of life, if you look around in this world and if you look for it hard enough, you can see God is teaching us constantly about himself by giving us a perspective, a reflection. It's hard to grasp these things, but look at these things. God creates man. And we're basically out of the earth. You were created. But I mean, at some point in time, you live your life and you go back to your base elements. You go back to the earth. You become dirt, basically. You rot. You erode. You just become an indistinguishable part of the soil given enough time. And same thing. We create things. We can't create life like God can, but we can build great buildings. We can build these magnificent structures. And yet, given enough time, they too will, like us, return to the earth, return to our base elements. We better get going here. I promised I was going to try not to run long, and I'm taking too long. I spent too much time telling crap like that story about going and buying the $99 car. This is why we run long, because I get off on stuff like that. I gotta do better. Let's see here. Let's pick up verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" I bet Jesus was sitting there like, huh? Because they took this revelation about these buildings, not one stone will be left another. They took it as, well, that'll be the end of everything. And Jesus was simply pointing out that, yeah, all these things, I mean, they're not going to be here forever. Focus on the things that are forever. And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." We see that. We talked about that just the other day. We talked about how those who run around and basically have replaced Jesus with the Jews, many false Christs. I've always, again, as I said on the show recently, I've always found that amazing. I mean, how can people be deceived like that when it's written right here? Because when I originally read that many years ago, I imagined somebody showing up and say, "Hey, you know me?" Like, "No, I don't know you. I'm Jesus." You'd be like, "Y'all right, get the hell out of here." But yet now we see it. Many, because they have now taken Christ and substituted him with the Jews. The Jews are basically their savior now. They've thrown Jesus out. It's all about the Jews now. And that's their savior. False Christ. False. Anti. "And shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet." You got all kinds of, he's spelling it out. It's just going to play out over a long period of time. This isn't going to be a 2-week thing. This is going to be something that plays out over generations and generations and years and years and ultimately even centuries. But it's all a part of the bigger picture, a picture we can't quite grasp. "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." These are just little pieces. They're all just the beginning. It's not the end all when you hear of a big war. I mean, when people, World War I, World War II, people thought, this is such a huge deal. No war has ever been fought on this sort of scale. It has to be it. But it's just the beginning. It's just a piece of it. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them, for his sake. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. All you got to do if you want to be in trouble in clown world, folks, is just keep going around speaking the truth. I guarantee you can find yourself in trouble at some point in time. And here we go with the verse in question here. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. And again, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. I spoke recently. I was talking about how we have to remember our job is not the same job as the early apostles had. They had a job. You've got a different job. You don't have their job. Their job was to get the gospel planted and started so that it ultimately would spread to all nations. Your job here in these days, as you look around as a part of the remnant of the church that's left, is in preparing the way for the judgment, is highlighting the judgment that is actually upon the land now, but actually paving the way for the final judgment. No, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. Don't ask me for a timeline. I don't have one. But that is your job, because the gospel has been preached to all nations. And no, I don't. I can't picture that Jesus was like, the gospel, you have to go to sub-Sahara Africa and preach. You got to go find those natives in the Amazon rainforest that haven't ever, you know, that still are eating each other. And you have to go preach the gospel to them. I mean, that's just silly. It's just silly on his face. But even, the gospel's literally been preached. I don't think there's anybody on the face of the earth that isn't even aware, that's not at least on some level or another aware of the gospel. The gospel's been preached. That's done. We check that off the list. And that's why he says it must first be. He's telling them, that's going to be your mission. First, before any of this stuff, y'all worrying about, oh, when's this going to happen? When are these stones going to not be up here? When are these buildings going to go? When is the final judgment coming? He's like, look, y'all need to even be worried about that, because first, the gospel must be preached to all nations. He's giving them a hint. He's giving them a hint what their mission is going to be. This is what you're going to go do, and this is the things you're going to suffer for it. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand that ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. Ever, when you hear or listen to or read anything about, like, for instance, communism, you know, the Soviet gulags and how these things, I mean, they would literally, dad children turning their parents in. They had people turning their family members into the state, even though it meant they were going to be executed. They're handing their parents over to be executed to the state for saying wrong thing. And you sit here and say, well, thank goodness Soviet Union isn't around. Look around. As things have progressed, our communists that we have today continue to push with their hate speech and their basically anti-truth speech screeching and demands. It's hatred. It's the truth. It's hatred. Not allowed to say that. Given their way, there will come a time, they could very well come a time, to where if you speak the truth, your very family members will hand you over. They'll turn you in. Hell, think how many people you know that would probably throw you under the bus for a few thousand likes on Facebook. You know, your family members would just send you right off to the gulag, right off to the gallows, if it meant somebody promised them their Facebook video would go viral. Let's finish the final verse here. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Be hated of all men. It sounded weird back in the day when things weren't clown world. You would read this, you know, and of course I grew up in a rural setting, And you know, most people went to church. The town was abandoned Sunday morning because the vast majority of everybody in town was at church. And you're looking around. It's like, how are you going to be hated from all men? Everybody I know around me in my little community is Christian. How you're going to be wind up hated of all men? It just sounds crazy. Some sort of, maybe the Soviets are going to win the Cold War, and that's what's going to happen. That's what some people actually envisioned. But look around today. Speak the truth, you'll be hated of all men. Speak the truth of Christ, and you'll be hated by all men. You'll be hated by the modern cuck church. The modern cuck church, you speak simply the words of Christ. You will speak and point to the truth of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit speak and see how quickly the modern cuck church will rush to condemn you. Oh, whereupon he doesn't know my Savior, hippie Jesus, that loves everybody and would never send anybody to hell. He doesn't know. He doesn't know Jesus equals the Jews. He doesn't understand. He's a hater. They throw you under the bus and claim that they're doing the work of God. And sadly, actually probably believe it themselves. The only way we could envision back in the day of it coming to a point where these things would be fulfilled is somehow we're going to fall to the Soviet Union. It's going to be like that movie Red Dawn, where Cuba takes over America with the help of the Soviet Union. And we're all now living under communism. Only the communism was already here. It had been festering for decades. Decades. And nobody noticed. It was growing right under our noses. You're not going to be hated and condemned by some far-off, oppressive government. Well, yeah, that too. But you're going to be mostly hated and condemned by the local so-called church, by the people in your community who cannot denounce you fast enough. He's a hater. They're not even going to take the time to figure out whether anything you said was true or not. It doesn't matter. You've been denounced as a hater. Ask me how I know. People that have known you for years, once they are told he's a hater, he's promotes the hate. It's the truth. No, the hates. The very people who have known you for years, most of them will kick you right under the bus because you've been denounced by their overseers as a bad thinker. Even the people that sit there and say they don't believe anything that that their self-proclaimed overseers or self-proclaimed betters. They don't believe anything they say until they say something about somebody they know, and then must be true. They'll throw you right under the bus. Children handing their parents over to be killed. Couldn't happen in America. They've got cases now where mothers are insisting on chopping their 7-year-old son's dicks off and declaring them transgender. And if the husband or the ex-husband or the father of the child sits there and says, no, this is insane, we can't do that, the courts will rule against him and punish him for being a hater. We're not far away, folks. They haven't brought about the executions yet, but yeah, we're half a step away. It's coming. So we're running out of time. We can't go back through it again. This scripture we just read from Mark, I encourage you to go back and reread through that, because Jesus is basically ticking off a list of all of these things. And read that and look back, not just like your lifetime, but look back all through history, and you can see where these things tick, tick, tick. You know, nobody knows a prophet is real or not until what he says comes true. And then, you know, because the people at the time are like, he's just crazy, he's just talking shit. But then after it happens, they're like, I guess he knew what he was talking about. Same thing here. Jesus is basically ticking off all of these things. You start checking them off like a list, and it's like, wow, we're getting to the end of the list. The gospel has been preached to all the world. Don't sit here and say, well, there's a tribe in New Guinea that had never heard the gospel. That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. Those people are primitive to the point that they're not technically human. I mean, they're just not. That's not what he's talking about. The gospel has been preached. He laid out to the disciples ahead. He gave them it was like a spoiler. He gave them a hint. This is what your job going to be, to get this started. And then it'll be carried on by those after you. Look, the gospel being preached to the world's done. There's no sense in being, this is what I think, find missionaries being so retarded. They go to all these backwater countries to talk about Jesus. Look, it's done. I mean, it's like if you paid somebody to, I don't know, pave your driveway, and then you kept going out there and like putting more pavement, it's like, it's done. That job is finished. Don't be hung up on it. It's done. You know, there's new work to do. That was their job. They got it started. The people that came after and built upon that and built upon that. Look, that part is done. The judgment is upon us. Go down the list. We're in there. We are there. We're at the end times. We're going to wrap it up on that note, folks. We still wind up going a little long, not as bad as last week. Next time, I'll try not to spend time telling what I think are funny. I'm probably the only one that thought that whole car thing was funny, but I gotta quit spending time on that and spend more time on the meat of the message because we keep running long. Anyway, again, thank you to all of you taking the time to listen. Thank you to the financial supporters of the show. I encourage you to do that. We do really, really appreciate it. So all that information's at the bottom of the page. And yeah, questions, comments, whatever, email is there. We'll either use them on the show or I'll say something to you, whatever. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note, folks. And you know, don't worry, a week will fly by before you know it. Who looks forward to the weekend? What everybody looks forward to is Tuesdays and the Church of the Lampshade. We'll see you then, folks. Until then, stay safe and keep the faith.
To the anti-white system on RadioArea.com.